Turn, please, to John's Gospel. The 20th chapter of John. Reading at verse 19. John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. This is after the resurrection of Christ from amongst the dead. And he saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now God will bless the reading of his word tonight. Now, in the closing section of this meeting, I would like to draw your attention to a few things that are mentioned here by the Spirit of God regarding the hands of the Savior. We've been hearing concerning your hands tonight. And I sincerely trust, friend, that you have had a good look at your own hands. Had a good look at them. There are those in this audience tonight, and I fear very much that you've never seen the vileness of the sin stains that are upon your own hands. But for the closing of this meeting tonight, I would like you to take a little look at the hands of the Savior. This chapter gives us to see a picture of our blessed Lord in the triumph of his resurrection from amongst the dead. He overcame the awful enemy that stalks our every breath, death itself. He came forth from the grave. He gave his life upon Golgotha's tree. He was buried by dear Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They laid him in Joseph's new tomb. And upon the third day, the first day of the week, he rose out from amongst the dead. My, what triumph! They did not need to roll the stone away to allow our blessed Lord to exit from that tomb. He was already gone. The stone was rolled away to show mortal man who cared to visit that tomb. It was empty. And he left it as clean as when he was placed in it, for he saw no corruption. The only man that ever died, that never saw corruption. Sin could not touch the Savior. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And let me say, friend, in this meeting tonight, there would be absolutely no Bible for us to read without a risen Christ. There would be no gospel for us to hear, poor dying sinners that we are, if it were not for a living, risen Christ. But thank God he rose, and he lives. And that is the man whom the disciples saw that night. in the upper room, two occasions of which we have read 1 week apart, when the Lord Jesus stood, suddenly appearing in the midst of those men, for he is now in a spiritual body, a body that is not dependent upon blood for life, for he gave his life upon Golgotha's tree, and when he was raised from the dead, he received a spiritual body. He lives in the power of an endless life. He will never die again. Blessed be his name. He will never need to die again, for he died for sin once and for all. Oh, thank God that our Savior lives, the one whom we present to you tonight. Now, I would just like you to notice a few things regarding the hands of the Lord Jesus as he showed them to the people at that time. Don't forget, my friend, those hands that were nail-riven, that Thomas saw and was invited to put his finger into the wounds of those hands. My, what an invitation. To take his hand and to thrust it into the wound of the side of the Savior. What an invitation, Thomas. He never did it. He didn't have to do it. As he looked upon the wounds of the Lord Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. But those hands that were wounded, my friend, they are the very same hands that ministered so much blessing to the people. Think of the hands of the Lord Jesus in their power. Those hands that touched the eyes of a blind man. And his eyes were opened. More than one blind man received the opening of his eyes, blind from birth. And his eyes were touched by the hands of the Creator. There was one occasion when a man came to the Lord Jesus, and he was born with one arm withered. Just a little stump of an arm is all he had. And the Lord Jesus touched him, and he had two arms, both the same, both healthy. The Creator had touched him. The hand of God. My, how marvelous. The hand that touched the coffin that day of a young man that was being led out to be buried. And he stopped and he arrested the procession as he laid his hand on the coffin. And he said, I say unto thee, young man, arise. And the young man sat up. And he restored him to his widowed mother. The hand of God. He had power over death, over disease. The hand of the Lord Jesus is none less than the hand of the eternal God. My friend, tonight, I mention this to you with the desire that you will recognize that the wounded hand of the Lord Jesus Christ is none less than the hand of the eternal God that was nailed to Golgotha's tree. But I would like you to take another look at those hands as the Lord Jesus comes out of the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a crowd of men there with lanterns and swords and staves and ropes. They had come to take him. And the Lord Jesus submitted. And the Bible tells us they bound his hands. My, I've often pondered that scene. Those foolish men. What did they think that they were doing? Did they think that they could restrain the Lord Jesus by tying his hands? Why, my friend, the hand that touched the eye of a leper could easily have extricated themselves from the bonds of those foolish men. But he submitted his hands. The time had come for him to suffer. And he submitted the hands of the Creator to the hands of the creature. What a sight. Oh, let me say to you, my friend, you and I possess a heart that is totally depraved. And it's mirrored in the hearts of those men that dared to take the hands of their Creator and bind them. Do you know that men and women are acting the very same today towards the Lord Jesus? Certainly they are. The reason that they bound his hands is because they did not want his ministry in their life. They wanted the Lord Jesus put out of their life. How amazing! When all he did was ever bring blessing. He fed the poor. He raised the dead. He helped the sick. And yet they said, away with him! Away with him! The Lord Jesus revealed, men love darkness. They wanted to do their own will. They did not want the presence of God in their life. Do you know, friend, that's why people are very loath and reluctant to come to a meeting like this. They don't want the searchlight of divine truth piercing into their life and revealing their sinfulness and their distance from God and the urgency of their need to get down to business about their soul. And they'll do anything. They'll go anywhere. They'll even tell lies of how busy they are. And they're just going to sit home and do nothing instead of coming to the meeting. You know what the trouble is? The very same problem that bound the hands of the Lord Jesus in that day. It was a hatred for the presence of God in their lives. They were uncomfortable with the Lord Jesus in their lives. And there's young men and young women in this meeting tonight. And one of the great reasons that you've never fallen upon your knees before God and cried for mercy, that God would be pleased not to let you drop into hell with all your sin, the reason you've never done it is because you do not want the Lord Jesus in your life. That's solemn. But we're all the same. There was a time in my life when I also was the same. Thank God. My stubborn will was broken. But I want you to look at the hands of the Lord Jesus upon Golgotha's tree. Look upon them, friend, as they are pinioned there. I wondered at those Roman soldiers that came that day. What a scene it is upon Golgotha's hill. And those poor, ignorant Roman men, they came and took the hands of the Lord Jesus and likely expected a violent struggle from a man who was about to be crucified and to suffer violently and eventually to die under a parching sun in that eastern land. But the hand was submissive. It never struggled once. And they took that vile, cruel nail and they placed it in the center of that blessed hand that had done so much good. And one blow after another pounded upon that hand and nailed it to Golgotha's tree. Never a groan came from his sacred lips. Never a word of revenge. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. Oh, what a lovely Savior. Friend, I want to say to you tonight, take a good long look at the hands of the Lord Jesus nailed upon Golgotha's tree. For they tell to you and they tell to me of a love that we've never merited. A love that is infinite. It comes from the heart of God. God so loved us that he gave his own blessed son. There is no one else can say. Jesus is the one. Those hands that were nailed to Golgotha's tree. Friend, they stand as an everlasting memorial to you and to me that Christ has loved you. What a mystery. What a marvel. Why does it not melt our heart tonight? Why is it that our eyes do not well with tears to think of love that led the Son of God to the violence of Golgotha's tree and his hands pinioned to that awful rugged cross? Because of your sins and my sins and divine justice that required his death, that we might have a privilege of hearing the gospel of grace and forgiveness. Oh, precious hands, lovely hands, the hands of my blessed Savior. Now look at them in this chapter, if you will, and you will see there are three kinds of viewers of the hands of the Lord Jesus that are here. You know, three times in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus talked about the day that he would be lifted up and his hands would be nailed to the tree. Three times. On one occasion, when he mentions it in the 8th chapter of this book, he reminds them that when he's lifted up, then they would know that he was the true Savior. And my friend, those wounded hands of the Lord Jesus are an evidence to you and I that this is the true Savior. There is none other that can save. It is not men's works that fit them for heaven. My friend, it's not a church that saves. No church was ever crucified for our sins. It's Christ and Christ alone that saves and has the authority to forgive sin. The wounds in his lovely hands, they tell you, sinner, if you'd only look at them tonight and ponder their meaning. The wounded hands that Thomas saw, the wounded hands that the disciples gazed on that night in the upper room. Those wounds, Lord Jesus, those deep, deep wounds do tell the sacrifice that frees us from sin and death and hell. All those wounds are precious. I would tonight that you could see in them what the Lord Jesus said, that men would recognize when he was lifted up and is hanging by his hands upon that tree. He said, "Then shall you know that I am he." Yes, it's the evidence that he's the real Savior, the only Savior. He must be your Savior if you will ever be in heaven. But the second occasion, in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus is speaking to a religious man, and he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." You see, friend, the only means of escape from perishing is through the wounds, the finished work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And those hands that are wounded, take a look at them, friend, just like those disciples that night. My, how precious it must have been to them. He held out his hands, and he said, "Behold my hands, oh my. I long for the day when I will see them. Thank God I will see them in glory. The day is coming. Christ is coming back again. And all that are his that know him as their Savior, they're going to rise away to heaven. And we're going to see those hands for the first time in our life. Oh, wonderful hands. The hands that were nailed because of my sin to Golgotha's tree." The Lord Jesus says, because of these wounds, there's an offer of everlasting life for sinners. Those who trust the man who yielded his hands to the tree of Calvary to settle the sin question. You see, that's what those wounds declare, friend. They declare that the sin question is settled. God's throne has been righteously satisfied, and the wounds of the Savior's hands declare that heaven is satisfied tonight. You do not need to look elsewhere, friend. You cannot produce anything to give to God to satisfy him. God is already satisfied with the Lord Jesus and what he paid, what he suffered, and he's seeking to tell sinners, "Take a look at my hands and see. I bore the nails for you." Oh, friend, in the wounds of the hands of the Lord Jesus, the mighty work of the sin question is declared and being said. But in John chapter 12, I love that verse, the Lord Jesus said, I am lifted up. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." My, what a lovely passage, because that takes me in tonight. Yes, that's without distinction, without any distinctions whatsoever, not without exception. All men will not come to the Lord Jesus. All men will not be drawn. Many are drawn aside by the devil. Many are drawn aside by the world. Many are drawn aside by their love for their sin. And they perish forever in their sin. But thank God, without distinction of creed or of race or of tongue, without distinction to the whole wide world tonight, the Lord Jesus says, "I will draw all men unto me." Those wounded hands tell me of the scope of the gospel. Friend, we can tell to a whole world tonight, be it a Christian's favorite child, or be it in some land where they've never heard the precious name of the Lord Jesus and never seen a Bible in print, to tell them of the reason for the wounds in the Savior's hands. We can tell the whole world tonight, he's willing to receive all that will come unto him, for his wounded hands declare the great scope of the gospel. Oh, friend, tonight, why have you not come to the Lord Jesus? Why do you cling to the filthy rags of your own righteousness, which will never take you to heaven, the Bible says? Flee to the open arms of the Lord Jesus. Look at the wounded hands of the Savior, and behold that he invites whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But in Thomas I see a class of people. And it says concerning Thomas, he says, "I will not believe. I will not believe." Why, Thomas, will you not believe? Here are men that saw the wounds of the Savior. Why will you not believe them? No, he says, "I won't believe unless I see and I can put my finger in the thing and put my hand in his side. Then," he says, "I'll believe." You see, Thomas, He was looking for something more than just the word of those that had seen it. And you know, the Lord Jesus, so kindly He met Thomas's need. I wonder if there are some in our meeting tonight, and as you hear the preaching of the way of salvation and of the virtues of the precious Savior and His sufferings upon Calvary's tree, you're saying, well, there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be something more than that. I require some kind of a sign. A lot of people like that, you know. They want a sign like Thomas. Unless I can put my finger in something they can feel. Listen, friend, it's not feelings that are going to save, and Thomas is going to find that out. He never did put his hand in there. Never did feel the wounds. Oh, precious moment when we shall feel them, brethren. How wonderful, thank God, be able to gaze on the man of Calvary as our own beloved Savior forever and ever. Dear Thomas, unbelievers, they wouldn't believe the virtues of the man who bore the wounds. They didn't believe it was him. I wonder if there's some like Thomas here tonight. Some that are waiting for a feeling. Some that are waiting for some extraordinary experience. My friend, tonight the Lord Jesus shows you His hands. And He says, behold My hands. What do they tell you? Those hands tell you, friend, that the payment for sin is given and done and finished. Thank God. Those hands tell you, whosoever will may come. There's no distinction. I wonder if there's a sinner in this meeting tonight, and you'll just take one good long look at the hands of the Savior and recognize it was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free, wondrous love. I can shout and sing, He died for me. That's what I see in those hands, thank God. The death of my Savior accounted for my sin. Satisfied God. And God says, tell it to all. Tell it to all. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I see the dear disciples, and I must close the meeting, but I want to tell you, here's the results of people that believed Him when they saw the wound. It says they were glad. Then the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know, my friend, if you came into this gospel meeting tonight miserable in your sin, knowing that if anything struck your little life's thread and it was cut and your soul would be plunged into eternity, that you would go to hell. If that was your feeling and that is your thought and you came into this meeting hoping tonight there would be something to help you, friend, take a look at His hands. Take a look at the hands of the Lord Jesus. The hands that were nailed on Golgotha's tree, they tell the story of a work that saves enough to save you. They were glad. You could go home that way tonight. My, how precious. I'm glad I can go home that way tonight. Just glad that those wounds were for me. And I can say with dear Thomas, He's my Lord. My, how precious. The Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Oh, friend. Why don't you take Him home with you tonight? Why do you not come as a poor sinner to the Lord Jesus? Lay down all your prejudice and all your pride and all the things that hinder you tonight. Lay them aside. Your soul is at stake. And remember the Lord Jesus. He showed them His hands. Can you see anything in those hands? What good have you received from the death of the Lord Jesus? What benefit have you come into? I have eternal life because of those wounded hands. I have the forgiveness of sins because of those wounded hands. I have the hope of eternal glory in heaven because of those wounded hands, friend. What benefit have you received from them? Listen to the word of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are saved. That's how people get saved, with what the Lord Jesus suffered. Not something they do today, but with what He has already done. And the third class of viewers brings us to that very fact. In verse 29, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Blessed. I've never seen His wounded hands. And I never shall till I reach heaven. But friend, I believe the divine record. God says, He was wounded for my transgressions. That's enough for me. Thank God. My sins have been dealt with. They've been put away. And resting upon the word of God about the wounded hands of the Lord Jesus, I see my sins forgiven. God grant that you might see that tonight. Just in your own simple way, friend, look at what God says about the wounded hands of the Lord Jesus. I ask you, do they speak your sins forgiven? Do they tell you of a work that satisfies God and satisfies you? You can add no more. You need no more. God says it is enough. The hymn writer has put it, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Oh, blessed is the man that can look on the wounded hands of the Lord Jesus and say, my Lord and my God. Oh, that you might tonight know the blessing of trusting the wounds of the Savior as the payment for your sin, and go home tonight with those dear disciples, rejoicing to know Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven divine to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight. Let us pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we would from the depth of our heart bless Thee for giving Thy Son out of heaven to go to Calvary to be wounded, wounded for our transgressions. Oh, we do thank Thee that He finished the work that Thou didst give Him to do. He paid the price in full, and His wounded hands tonight declare the work is done, and whosoever will may come and be saved. We pray for those who are here tonight who have not the assurance of their sins forgiven, that they might remember that it's the wounded hands of the Savior that tell the story. It's not something within themselves, but rather outside of themselves. The wounds of the Savior tell the great message of the gospel, and we ask Thy blessing upon it tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sing hymn number 63. Hymn 63. We thank you for coming again this evening. Do remember the meeting tomorrow night if the Lord hasn't come, for we do believe in the second coming of Christ. And we want to preach every night, friend, with the consciousness that maybe this is your last opportunity to hear. And whatever you do, I hope you've listened like that too. If this is your last opportunity to hear an invitation from God that you might be forgiven and saved, why don't you take advantage of it tonight and turn as a poor, guilty sinner to the Lord Jesus for your salvation, and you'll be able to say with us, He was wounded for me. There on the cross, He was wounded for me, gone my transgressions, and now I am free, all because Jesus was wounded for me. My, I hope you can rejoice in the hands of the Lord Jesus as the payment for your sin tonight, before it be too late. So sing verses 1 and 2 and 5 of hymn number 63, and the meeting is dismissed.
Just as I